All right, hi, I'm here speaking to Art Combs. Hey, Art, how are you?
How are you? Thank you for having me.
You know, he wrote a book. He's actually quite a successful man, best-selling author, a great speaker, leadership guru, and can talk about Hard Easy, Get Real Guide for Getting the Life You Want. So we actually started talking off about high school. He said I was too dressed up for this interview. I said I'm trying to cover up for for everything else that's not here. And that do you think there are people that peak early? In other words, in their career, they're on a path. High school they do well, maybe college they do well, and then they get out into the real world, and it's not as easy. What do you think happens to some people? And then others, they're bad in high school, they're bad in college,
Yeah.
and come out, see students, and they're CEOs of major corporations. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things. In fact, I can tell you a story. I am heavily involved in our high school reunions. And I'm old enough to tell you we had our 40th high school reunion a couple of years ago. And when we were in high school, we had the typical big man on campus. He was the athlete. He was the one all the girls wanted. He was really gifted scholastically. Everything came so easy to him. And everyone wanted to be his friend. He was big. He was handsome, the whole thing. But when we look at, and I'm sad to say, when I look back and see him now, he's a shell
That's
of the person he used to be. And I ask why. And if you really get to know him, he's humbled quite a bit. And he says, "Art, things came too easily for me. I never had to work at anything. So when I got out and I was the big man on the baseball team, the football team, anything I wanted to do in high school, I did so easy and it came so effortlessly. But when I got to college, all of a sudden, there were others that were as strong, as big, as fast, as smart as I was. And I didn't have that mentality, that grit, that internal fortitude to do hard things and to work. And it just, he said, my life just sort of fell apart and I lost my identity.
And hard things are sort of like what we're talking about. Your book focuses on this thought about taking the easy way or taking the hard way. Now, of course, that is your easy way or your hard way, okay? So the athlete or the person who's very outgoing, that easy way might be, hey, let's have a discussion. Let's have a discussion. This is more of where my life is, I'll tell you straight. But the hard work is, well, why don't you make a presentation? Why don't you put down some paperwork that will show me what you're talking about? I'll tell you, I'll tell you, I'll tell you. No, write it down, write me a proposal. And I say, oh my God. Oh, certain things do come easier to other people, but there's a norm and you have to still follow a norm. What's the deal?
I can relate to that totally. I have severe dyslexia. I talk about that in the book. For 25 years of my life, I clung to the excuse that I was born this way. This is just the vessel that the creator gave me, and I have certain crosses to bear that other people don't have to bear. And this is just how I was born. And I sort of relegated myself to scholastic mediocrity. That's just the way I was. My dad got his PhD from Stanford. That was my dad. But I'm not my dad. And I'm never going to accomplish that. And finally, I was about 25 years old, and I had a very, very good friend who graduated from university with his bachelor's degree within 2 years, went to Harvard, graduated top of his class at Harvard. And we were coming back from a hike in the Yosemite National Forest in California. And I made the comment, I said, you are my scholastic hero. You're someone I look up to because I don't think I can ever achieve what you have achieved scholastically, academically. And he literally pulled the car over. And he said to me, "Art, you are focusing on your weaknesses, not your strengths." And there's a time in your life when someone's going to say something to you where your heart is open, your mind is open, and you're just right at that right time. And you need to hear that cold, candid honesty. And it pierced me. And he said, "You have strengths that I couldn't possibly match." And I was like what? And he said, "Endurance. You just hiked me into the ground." He said, "Your common sense is uncanny. Your ability to communicate with other people and talk is unreal. So what if it takes you a little bit longer to read a chapter? So what if it takes you twice as long to write a paper? Get some help. Do what you need to do. Focus on your strengths." Anyway, that conversation totally changed my life. And I had this idea. I thought, wow, what could I do? So in my book, I talk about the 10 commandments I created for me to go back. And at 25, I went back to university, implemented those 10 commandments on how to get straight A's in school. And I graduated, top of my class. And I had English teachers from high school calling me and saying, "Are you the same Art Coombs that was at my high school?" But I still have dyslexia. I still have to wrestle with that every day. It's not something I can just magically wave away. I still have to deal with it. But what I learned that day and that at that moment was focus on your strengths. We all have strengths. Focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses.
So give me some 10 commandments. Give me a little bit of it.
Okay, sure. I'll give you a couple of 10 commandments. And these were all focused on my strengths. I was a wrestler in high school, and I learned that I wasn't the strongest. I wasn't the most flexible. I wasn't the quickest or had the most moves, but nobody would out endurance me. And so if you beat me not because of endurance, you beat me for other reasons. But some of the 10 commandments: never, ever miss a class. Never miss a class. And I know that seems simplistic, but when you're going to school and you're not, it's not high school anymore, you can miss, professor's not going to see you there. It really doesn't matter. It's a beautiful Friday afternoon. In fact, I can tell you a story. I went to San Jose State. I tried to get into Stanford. I thought I could ride my dad's coattails, but that didn't happen. But I went to San Jose State and I had a class, logistics, that was held Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 3:30 to 5:30. Now, this was spring. That Friday afternoon during the spring in California, Northern California, was the hardest class to attend, from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. And one spring day, there was we were in this, I'll never forget, we were in this auditorium that sat about probably 150 kids. But there were only 15 in the class. So we were in this huge auditorium, but just a few students. And Dr. Densler I got there early. One of my 10 commandments: never miss a class, get there on time. I got there early and I thought that there was a mistake because no one else was in the class. Nobody was in the class at all. And I kept looking at the clock. 3:30 rolled around. I was the only one sitting in there in this huge auditorium. I kept looking at the clock, looking at the clock. Finally, after about 3:35, Dr. Densler walks in and I'm the only one there. And he starts lecturing as if all 15 other students are still there. He's asking questions and I'm looking around. I had to raise my hand. I'm the only one in the room. He carried on a lecture for 45 minutes as if everyone else was there, but I was the only one in the room. And 45 minutes later, he closed up his book, he walked out, and it was all done. And it was all surreal to me. Later in the semester, I went back and I talked to him and I said, "Dr. Densler, do you remember that day that you gave that lecture and I was the only one in the auditorium?" And he smiled and he said, "You know, Art, I was in the back. It was a beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous spring day. Everyone had cut class except for you. And I was in the back, up in the sort of where the people have AV and they watch." He says, "I was in the back watching you, hoping you were going to leave too." So that meant I could leave. But you didn't leave. You sat there and sat there. And when I realized you were committed, I had to be committed. It didn't matter if there were all 15 students there or just one. I had to go down and present a lecture as it, because it was that important to you. And he smiled and he says, you know, it really didn't matter how you did the rest of the semester. You were going to get an A in my class, no matter what. But it taught me a great lesson. But that was one of the, that was one of the commandments. Another one of the commandments I can tell you is I recorded every single lecture. Now I'm old enough. I didn't have an iPhone or anything, but I had a small mini digital cassette recorder. And I would sit in the second row, just off to the left, away from the door, and I would record every lecture. And I would take and write notes on a pad of paper, and I would skip every three lines. And then I would go back within 24 hours, I re-listen to the lecture, stopping and starting that, and writing in and filling in those notes so they were as complete as they could be. But I listened to every lecture twice within 24 hours. Now, those types of things, those are just two of the Ten Commandments, but those types of things are things I knew I could do because I had endurance. I knew I could do because I was committed. And if I set my mind to it, I could do that. But I had to do that. I had to, because of my dyslexia, I had to involve my ear and my hand and really get down and go the extra mile, or I was not going to be able to keep up with the other students.
I like this stuff, Art. I like this stuff. I'm going to make this, I've decided just now, I'm going to make this part one of a couple of other parts, okay? And so I want people to hear what you just said. I want them actually to play this back again, all right? Just like you did your homework, I'm going to be giving this to my grandkids because there's some real solid knowledge in here. Good. And you know what? Sometimes also we share too much.
I probably am guilty of that.
No, you're not you, but you being smart enough to save so you could listen again, save the lecture, gives you a chance to absorb because, you know, sometimes we just, there's too much on the plate. What's the name of the book again, my friend?
It's called Hard Easy. And it's by Arthur F. Coombs III. And you can find it on Amazon or anywhere online where books are sold. I also have an Instagram account, Arthur F. Coombs, on Instagram that you can follow me. I also have a website called artcoombs.com.
What's good news for you, Art?
Thank you so much.
What is good news for you?
Oh, what is good news for me? You know, life is good. Life is really good. I can honestly say I've embodied the blessing of living hard. I've made a lot of really hard decisions that have been thrust upon me because of challenges I've faced. And I've been blessed with amazing parents that sort of helped me and guided me, not so much through their words, but through their actions. I just had to watch what they did and how they lived their life and emulate what the, you know, sort of what they were doing.
A lot of good stuff here. A lot of good stuff here. All right. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. Take care. We'll talk again.
Yep.